sweetly calling. Who will go and work for me today? Who will bring to me the lost and dying? Oh, who will point them to the narrow way? Quick to answer thee, who's big my Lord, big my Lord, he's big and I will answer, Lord, send me. When the call of fire ties the prophet, making him as pure as pure can be. When the voice of God said, "We'll go for us," oh, then he answered, "Yeah, send me." Oh, speak my
Lord.
Speak to me, Lord.
Speak my
Lord. Oh, speak and I'll be quick to answer thee. Oh, speak my Lord.
Speak to me. Father, we come unto thee upon this evening, Lord, just to thank you for a chance to once again call upon thy name. Father, we just want to worship thee, Lord, Hallelujah. Upon this day. Father, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of sadness, in the midst of all the things that go around, Father, inside of our souls, how we rejoice, Father, that you are good. That, Father, you are the strength of your people. That, Father, you are ever-present help in a time of need. We thank you, Lord, that you are the great comforter. Father, we thank you that you are the quickening power. We thank you, Lord, that you are all that we need in any situation that we face. We thank you, Lord, that you guide our footsteps. We thank you, Lord, that you are our victory, that you are our deliverance. We thank you, Jesus, that you have overcome the world, that we need fear not. We thank you, Lord, that you are all in all. Jesus, there's nothing more that we need outside of thee. And that's why we've come once again upon this day, desiring just to partake of, Father, that grace that you've opened access unto us for, Lord, that, Father, we may just come unto thy throne of grace, throne of mercy upon this evening, Lord. Praying for our precious sister, Lord, there in the hospital, Lord. Father, you are the only one that can go real deep down inside of her soul. Father, you are the one that has spoken to her soul. You are the one that has redeemed her soul. Father, you are the only one that can comfort her, Lord. You can go beyond the comfort that we can offer. Father, you can go right down, and Father, she can rest in your arms. Father, she can rest in your grace. We just want to pray, Father, open up access unto her at this time, that she may seek thee. Father, may she find you in her sorrow. Even our brother Mike, bless him, strengthen him, Lord. Let him be a strength unto his wife at this time, Lord. And Father, may you be strong in him. May you quicken him. May you encourage him, Lord. Father, may you help him as our desire. And Father, as we come unto your word upon this evening, how much we need thee, Lord. Thank you, Father, for song worship, Lord. Thank you for opportunity to worship thee. Thank you for your people that have come upon this night, Father, unto this place. Father, we've come even as has been said already and as prayed already. Father, we haven't come unto this place for any other purpose but to fellowship with you. Father, we don't want to go from this place the same. Father, we want you to do something for us, Lord. Father, and that's why we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your people that haven't managed to come. We don't forget them upon this night. We do pray for them, Lord. And every request, Lord, our sister Olga, Father, asking prayer for her mother. Lord, we just pray that you'd help her. Lord, I just pray that you'd minister to her need. And Father, all the rest of your people, we dedicate them into your hands. Bless your people gathering in Belfast. Father Banbridge, we think upon this night. Brother George Quinn in Donegal, bless them. Brother Christian, Father, his family, the saints there, bless them richly, we pray. Father, we look to thee. Father, help us in this weekend that's laying before us. Prepare our hearts, prepare our souls, and lead us and guide us, Lord. And Father, we just come, Lord, to bring ourselves before thee now. Bless your word unto us. Bless our fellowship, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Saints, let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation. Brother Wilmo announced there already about Sister Patience and Friday morning a funeral for the little baby. So like we said, when there's full details tomorrow, we'll let you know what the arrangements are for that. Let's just keep on in prayer, keep in encouraging our sister. I saw Sister Lydia had put a real good post as well on WhatsApp, because I even said it to Sister Patience when I spoke to her. I said, Sister, it's the same as Sister Lydia. Sister Lydia, Brother Vlad knows very well, had taken so long to have a child. I remember them praying, and then when Sister Lydia was expecting the first time, she miscarried. And it was so sad. And then the second time, I think as well, there was a miscarriage. But then I was saying it to Sister Patience. I said, but now, sometimes they almost complain that they've got too many children in their house. You know, so the Lord really turns things around. And he turns our tears into joy. We forget about those times of weeping. You know, those times when we think that it's really was, you know, that it can't get worse. There comes a time that you look back and you wonder where that sorrow has gone, because the Lord says that he'll give us beauty for ashes. You know, he says that he gives us those promises. So we just trust in the Lord that in due season the Lord will restore. Because when he takes away, he restores. Like with Job, he restored double. So we trust that for our sister. Let's read Revelations 4, verse 1 and 2, first of all. I was thinking it would be a prayer meeting this evening, but it's not. Friday is the prayer meeting, so just warning in advance, it's not a prayer meeting this evening. We're going to get a little bit into something which isn't prayer meeting this evening. Revelations 4, verse 1 and 2. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So it's an amazing thing that John could be transported just by a voice, by a visitation, from being in such a difficult place. Patmos, it was a hell on earth. It was just the worst place that you could imagine to be on earth. But when the voice came to him, come up higher, something was open to him. And he was taken from this earth. He was actually taken into another dimension, into another place. And he saw such wonderful things. Let's also read Revelation 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now we know the seventh seal, something was opened. We know the prophet says it's the coming of the Lord. It's the mystery of his coming. We're living under the seventh seal now. He says Revelation 10 is the seventh seal. But at the same time when the Lord is opening something to his people, the seventh seal, he's opening the mystery of redemption, the mystery of his coming. There's a purpose for that. Because in that same season, that same time, look at the next chapter, verse 1, chapter 9, verse 1. It says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. So something else at the same time is opened up. The bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth hath power. What a serious contrast that is. But it's the same day, the same hour. There's an access open to this dimension and an access open to that dimension. And for all these years, there's never been a full access to these both of these dimensions. But all of a sudden, when we get to the end time, there's access open to both of these dimensions. And there's going to be people that are going to enter so much into this dimension, they're not going to see death. And there's going to be others that are going to go so deeply into this dimension, they're going to become souls in prison now. They can never see life. And it just depends on which dimension we want to go into. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. So we're continuing on our thought just of this, the magic kingdom. We want to just continue about this one here. But if you had to give it a topic we want to look at this evening is the portal. You know, there's just certain things that led me down this thought. But if you can put the slides there, sister, I'll just use a couple of slides this evening. Because what a portal is. You know, I think some saints have seen what's been happening in Switzerland and they've made this Hadron Collider, the CERN project, this big project where they spent all these billions and billions of euro just outside Geneva, and they've made this great big circuit that uses so much electricity, and they're trying to force certain molecules and certain atoms together to try to make some sort of a reaction in the physics realm. And they were saying, I'll show you the slide here right at the end, we'll get back to the other ones. Whoops. Oh, yeah. How CERN plans to use the Large Hadron Collider to open portals to other dimensions and possibly already have. You know, so the prophet says that what happens in science is a parallel to what happens in the spiritual realm. So whenever I see science and you see something taking place, these people are trying to make an apparatus. It's miles long if you go and read about this thing. And they placed it in this place, which was exactly the place that there was an ancient temple of the goddess of destruction on that place. And they use her as the symbol of CERN. You can just look for CERN on Google. There's a lot about it. And they made it into this big scientific project all along. But now when they've been speaking to these scientists that are trying to get these atoms and molecules, whatever it is, to collide, what they're actually hoping to produce, they say, is a black hole. That's what they're trying to make. And they believe, they say, by doing this, maybe we can open up a portal into another dimension. That somebody could enter into this portal and maybe come out in another universe. I said, these people are playing with things that they don't understand. Because they don't realize that what they're doing in science has already happened in the spiritual realm. There's already portals have been opened up to other dimensions. And we are recipients of that by the grace of God. But this world as well, and all the things that we see taking place upon this world, upon the earth now is because another portal's been opened as well to the world. And this darkness has come out and it's influencing everything that's around us. We'll see it. A portal is an entrance or a means of entrance. You know, and whenever you find that the devil opens something up, like he opens up the bottomless pit, he has his designs upon this age. He wants to bring things to a climax, like the prophet says. He wants to bring things to a harvest time. He wants to bring upon the earth an anointing and an atmosphere and a manifestation of what he always had in his mind from Eden. That's what Satan's doing. Now it's Satan's Eden. And at that same time, when the Lord sees Satan opening up this portal, the Lord knows what it's going to come to in the end. He knows what the tribulation period's going to be. He knows hell is coming out upon the earth now. He knows that there's another dimension being opened up to the peoples of the earth. So the Lord comes down and he opens a portal as well. He says to his people, come up higher. And he raises his people up into another dimension as well. It always goes parallel to these things. You'll always find it going like that. Look in Revelation chapter 10. In Revelation chapter 10, we see the mighty angel coming down. Revelation 10 coming down and he has an open book in his hand. God is opening something to his people. God in the spiritual realm himself is coming down and opening something up to his people that hasn't been opened up before. And when the Lord does those kind of things, it's for a purpose. Like the prophet says, God is not a showman. God doesn't do something unless there's a need for him to do something like that. Like we saw last weekend, for God to send a message, for God to send Elijah, for the pillar of fire to come back, there was a reason and a purpose for that. And friends, the reason and the purpose is God has to open a portal to his people. There's got to be a portal open to us in this age because hell is coming upon the earth. And it's a deepening anointing of hell that's taking place. And when we look in the entertainment industry, they've broken into this other dimension. You know, just the last, in our generation, things have completely changed in the film industry. They're breaking into this dimension. I'll show it just now. In the music realm. You compare the music, like we always say, that's coming out now, to music that was there 50 years ago. They've broken through a certain portal into a certain spiritual realm of darkness. And now all that's coming forth from Hollywood, all that's coming forth in the music industry. And as we get into video games and those kind of things, we're going to find each and every one of these things is coming from a certain dimension. This is an expression of a dimension that's been opened up. It was never opened up before. Since the days of Noah, because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. Since the days of Lot, the days of Sodom, we haven't had such an access opened up to hell on earth, where hell has brought forth something, where something has come forth and has so come with a gross darkness upon the people. And people have so yielded themselves to that anointing that has been opened up to them that they're starting to bring forth things that generations before would never have dreamed of bringing forth. They're starting to reflect fully now this dimension of darkness that has been opened up. But just at the same time, there's a people that God has opened up another dimension to them. And we're getting deeper and deeper into the anointing on this dimension, just as much as Enoch did in his day. And one of these days, we're going to go through that portal. Because Enoch spent so much time in fellowship with that dimension. That just opened him until one day he just went through and he never came back. Friends, and that's the age that we're living in. It's the harvest time. It's the time of maturity. It's the time that both harvests have to be harvested. Both realms have to come to maturity. And things cannot come to maturity until God releases something to bring maturity to his people. And the devil is permitted to release something that brings maturity to his people. And then we have a harvest time. And that all that the seed that has been sown and all of these things of the generations and ages gone by, we live at the climax of the ages. And we see both of these portals fully open now. And friends, hell is upon the earth. Hell is upon the earth. And this anointing of hell, this anointing of destruction that is upon the earth, this anointing of insanity that is upon the earth, this gross darkness that is upon the people, that is expressing itself in every realm. It's expressing itself in fashion. You see these women, these film stars walking around, they don't even have clothes on. They don't even have clothes. They just wrap a little bit like of a bandage around the top and a little bit of something to cover down there. And they call it dressing and they go out in public. Friends, that is an expression of a dimension that they're getting deeper and deeper into. There's an inspiration. Something's been opened to them. And they are yielding themselves to that anointing and getting deeper and deeper into that portal of that bottomless pit that has been opened up. And we see it reflect in their lives. We see it reflect in all that they bring forth, in their music, in the video game industry, in the entertainment industry. Everything is an expression of that bottomless pit now. And it's just going to get worse and worse, the prophet said. It's not going to get better. That anointing is going to get deeper and deeper and deeper until as we go beyond the rapture, it's literally going to be hell on earth. Literally hell on earth. Because when the bride comes to full maturity, when we spend sufficient time in this dimension that's been opened up to us at the opening of the seals, we spend more and more time in this dimension, there comes a time when God closes that portal. And those that have been baptized into that dimension now, we enter into that portal. Then he closes that portal to the Gentile. He says, no one else can come in this portal. And at that same time, Satan is cast out. And he comes down and fully incarnates the false prophet. And he becomes the beast. And now that portal of hell is fully opened up now on earth. And hell is literally on earth. And the prophet in 1963, he thought that time had come. If you listen to souls in prison now. Because the prophet now, he went into J.C. Penney's store. And there were things when he was a young boy, when he was shot through the legs, we know the story. And he went down into the regions of the lost, down into that fifth dimension, that realm of insanity. He was taken right down into that realm of those souls that are in prison. It was in vision he went down there. And he saw them then. He saw the woman with the paint, the way it painted their eyes and stuff. And then he's in 1963. He's in J.C. Penney's store. And he breaks into a certain dimension. And all of a sudden he sees coming up the escalator those very same women. Those very same beings that he had seen in the regions of the lost when he was a young man. What's happened? What before was confined to the regions of the lost is now on earth. That portal's been opened and now he's seeing on earth in flesh the very things that were hidden in that dimension. And friends, we don't need to go and see people like that. We just need to look at what Hollywood is producing to understand that that which before was reserved for the regions of the lost is being made flesh before our very eyes. You go and get a video. I was at Tesco the other night when Katana was shopping. I went and took the video game magazine again. I like to look at those things. And go and look at the dimension they're breaking into with these video games. It's hell, it's demonic, it's all this mythology and all these kind of things. And you wonder, where do these people get this inspiration from? There's a dimension that's been opened to them. And they yield into the anointing of that dimension. And they're getting so such an inspiration from that dimension. They're starting to bring forth things from that inspiration that has never been seen on earth before. It's affecting the earth so much. You need to ask yourself, what is inspiration? What is inspiration? Why is it that certain things so influence the multitudes more than other things? Why is it a certain song or a certain film or a certain video game will just so much influence, will strike something in society that another one won't do? Someone else would have spent as much time, as much effort, maybe be better skilled, a better singer, a better actor, but there's just certain things that strike home with people. It's an inspiration. And what is inspiration? Inspiration is the gateway to another dimension. Inspiration is a gateway for you to get through a certain portal into another dimension. Whenever we get into an inspiration, friends, we're actually getting into another dimension. And depending on the source of this inspiration, that's going to determine which dimension we go into. That really does. Listen what the prophet says. I'll just read you a few quotes about when he's in the prayer lines and that, and he speaks about dimensions. He says in Looking for Jesus, 1954, he says, "Now, what is a seer? What is a prophet? What is a vision?" He says, it's another dimension. We saw that on Sunday, that fourth dimension. So the prophet, when he would get into that realm of vision and he would see things and it would be like physical and tangible and real to him, yes, I'm in another dimension. And speak to this rock. He says, as the meetings go on each night, the anointing begins to get very deep, if you understand, and you break into another dimension. Ah, friends, can you see how important it is for us to get in the spirit of what we're doing? That when you gather here, we want the anointing to get deeper and deeper and deeper. Because by doing that, it allows us, it opens a portal for us into another dimension. Just as much as John, though he was on Patmos, but that voice came, that anointed voice, and a portal was opened to him, and he was taken straight, and he could see heavenly things. He could see things in another dimension. He was in two worlds at the same time. He was still on Patmos, but he was seeing the throne. He was seeing redemption. He was seeing the Lamb break the seals. Friends, that's what we wanted to be. That when you read the Bible, when you listen to the message, you want that anointed to get deeper and deeper so that your soul is now moving deeper and deeper into another dimension. And the longer you stay in that dimension, the more mature you become because you're laying in the presence of the Son. That dimension that's been opened to us is going to ripen us to the harvest. It's going to take all the greenness out. It's going to put that rapturing faith that's already been doing it all this time. But friends, I'm sure you want a deeper portion because that portal's been opened unto us. And the cherubs have been released to usher us deeper and deeper through in this dimension until we step through this portal. And that's what the rapture is. And that's why he sends these things. And he sends it as a response because another portal's been opened there to the fifth dimension and hell is coming out on earth. And all of this realm of insanity is being vomited out upon the peoples of the earth. And we can see it in the way people talk and dress, the way they do their hair, the way they pierce themselves through their lips and their belly buttons and color themselves pink and blue and green in their hair and tattoo their bodies with all manner of things. And you say, what is this? This is a manifestation of an inspiration. And what is an inspiration? An inspiration is something that comes to you from another dimension. And if you yield to it, it opens that dimension to you. And the longer you spend fellowshipping in that dimension, the more you manifest what that dimension is. The more you bring forth from that dimension. And that's why we're living in such an age of contrast on both sides. One side is going as far here and the other side's going that side as far there. And it's getting more further and further away day by day. And that's why we feel less and less at home in this world each day. That's why we fit less and less in this world each day. That's why we can't find what we're looking for in this world more and more each day. Because this dimension that surrounds us, all this gross darkness, is getting darker and darker. And it's becoming more and more flesh. And we're seeing more and more manifestation from that dimension as we go towards this climax and towards the end. He says, in manifestation of the resurrection, he says it's a vision. He said, when the vision breaks, he says, and you speak, it brings it back. He says, it's going into another world. To the scientists, it's another dimension. So by the grace of God and by the anointing and the revelation of the Spirit, we move into another world. And friends, we need to spend as much time in that world as we can. That is our escape. That is our refuge in this age. That is the portal that's been opened up to us. There's nothing else for us. There's no other salvation that's going to come. There's nothing else for the bride. But God has opened up a portal. And that's why he had to open it up. He says, and at thy word, Lord, he says, so just be reverent now. And if the anointing would strike me, of course, It puts me in another dimension. To the scientists, it's another dimension. To you Christians, it's in the Spirit. So when we're getting in the Spirit, we're getting deeper and deeper into that dimension. And as we get deeper in that dimension, we start to think the way the inspiration from that dimension would think. And we start now to manifest things from that dimension. As a believer, you start to bring forth what is in that dimension. You start to manifest it inside of your life. And people look at you and they know there's something completely different than you. Between you and the peoples of the world. It's not your own willpower, but you've been baptized into another dimension. Through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it baptizes your soul into that dimension. It baptizes this dimension out and it baptizes that dimension in. And that's the key. You can't be educated into that dimension. You can't. You've got to be baptized. It's a spiritual something to usher you from this dimension into that dimension. The portal is open, and when you're in the Spirit, the prophet said it's another world. He says it's another dimension. And what is the separation? He says, when he breaks forth something, when the Lord reveals something, he says, when he shows a vision, then that's just something. I'm in another, to the scientists, another dimension. The sixth sense, the fourth dimension, whatever you want to call it, to me it's the Holy Spirit, when you surrendered. So when a portal is open, when an inspiration comes forth, and you yield to that anointing, the prophet says, what is all that the church can do? He says, is to yield to the anointing. As you yield to the anointing, the deeper you yield to the anointing, the more you surrender yourself to that anointing, the deeper it'll usher you into that dimension. The deeper, the more real that world will become. Until like Enoch, one day that world would be so much more real than this world that he just stepped from this world into that world. And that portal had been opened, him being the seventh from Adam, speaking of the seventh church age, speaking of our day. And he's our type and friends. That is why how many times it seems like we're never too far away from really trying to encourage people about praying within the veil, about feeding your soul, laying in the presence of the Son. Because that is the only way we fully benefit from this portal that's been opened to us at the opening of the seals to achieve the purpose that it was sent for. In Hebrews chapter 5, the prophet says, the Bible says, come out of them, be separate. He says, you're not of that. And when the new nature comes into you, you don't have to be pulled out. You don't want to go back like Lot's wife. You've been born out of it. And you're in another dimension. So you have to be born again. To be born out of this dimension. To be born into that dimension. And then the more time you spend in fellowship in that dimension, the more you change from glory to glory. The more something changes in your soul. The more you're laying in the presence of the Son. You're getting conditioned now for that final quickening when it comes. It'll just push you finally into through that portal into that dimension. And he speaks of it in the final one. He says, when their eyes were opened, he says, there's no need of me trying to explain it. You just can't do it. But now if I could say this word, something inside of me has changed to another dimension. Don't you love those times? There's times you can feel depressed. There's times you'll feel sad. There's times there'll be an oppression upon you. You get into prayer, you get into the word, you get in the message, and something changes inside of you. The prophet says it's another dimension. You've been transported by an anointing, by an inspiration, from one dimension into another. From one world into another world. And friends, that's why your soul, if you're genuinely born again, it's not at home in this world. It'll never be at home in this world. It'll never be satisfied in this mortal realm because you already, your soul has already been baptized into another world. It's already a citizen of another kingdom. It's just waiting for this body to be changed and for you to be transported through that portal at the rapture. And friends, that's why the anointings are getting deeper and deeper. That anointing upon the world, the anointing upon the bride, it's getting deeper and deeper as God deals with his people. And that's what we desire. Because look in Revelation 14, it's coming to the climax. It's coming to the harvest time. Now look at the two harvests. We know it well enough. Revelation 14, verse 14. John says, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud." So there's the cloud. "And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man." So there's the Son of Man in the cloud. "Having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle." It was harvest time. "And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." You see, there's got to be something to ripen it. There's got to be something to bring us to maturity, to bring us to that place that we can be harvested. "And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped." Such was the first harvest. And then what happened? "And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire." So this is judgment. "And he cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth." It's not the wheat now, it's the grapes. He's going to tread the grapes of wrath. Remember, he's going to tread the wine press. He's going to gather the nations together. He's going to stomp them as when you'd gather the grapes and put them in a vat. And then you'd use your feet and you would press them in the wine press. And the blood's going to come forth like the red, you know, juice from the grape. You know how figurative is in the Bible. This is thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. So there's two different harvests, friends. And there's something that's been released to bring the vine of the earth to its maturity. And friends, we're seeing such a quickening in that. There's such a quickening in the things of the world. There's such a quickening in the iniquities of the world, of the apostasy of the world, and all the things that we see taking place. And there's a quickening in the people of God. And you and I can feel it inside of ourselves. Something's changing day by day. Something is real like it's never been real before. Something's moving us to a place that inside your soul you'll say, I've never been in this place before. I've never had such a reality. I've never had such a something that keeps urging me on and pressing me on. It's because we're coming right to the climax. The prophet says we're living at the climax of the ages. And both of these things have to come to maturity before they can be harvested. Now, one thing which you learn about the principles of the word, it requires messengers to open portals. Whenever God wants to open a portal, it needs a messenger. When he wanted to open the portal deeper into his kingdom, he had to send Luther. Until Luther came, that was closed. No one knew justification by faith. But in order for that revelation to be led forth that could usher the people deeper into the dimension of the kingdom, he had to send a messenger. And the messenger came, and he was a special vessel anointed. He came with a message, and that was a release. That was God releasing something to usher people into a certain dimension. Just as much as in the world, as we saw on Sunday, there's got to be vessels. There's got to be fallen angels. There's got to be messengers. They come forth from that realm. They're anointed so deeply from that realm that they usher people into that realm as well. They're messengers to bring people to maturity in that realm as well. Friends, that's what we've got to be so very careful. What we spend our time on. That's why in these kind of times, what does the Bible say? Redeeming the time. For the days are evil. Let your time be spent on the things of redemption. When I look at those video games, I think, but how can young people spend hours and hours and hours in those things? That's not redeeming the time. That's not redeemed time. Especially if you understand where these things are coming from. Can you put the slides again, please, sister? So there's the two trees, the prophet said. And he says, and their branches intertwined, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the prophet says, the tree of life spoken of, I think, three times in the book of Genesis, three times in the book of Revelation. So what was there in the beginning, the tree of life that was there in the beginning, it comes back at the end. And the tree of knowledge that was there in the beginning, it comes back at the end in its fullness. And that's why now we can see all the entertainment, where they're accessing the inspiration from. Because there's an access to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that's been opened to this world that wasn't there in these days and ages gone by. Just as much as there's an access to the tree of life that has been opened to us that wasn't open to the peoples of the past. That's why they all saw death, but there's a promise to the believer, the overcomer in this age, you shall not see death. Imagine the access we have to the tree of life like Enoch, that we can so much partake of this tree of life that we never see death. We so unite with the tree of life until Paul says some of us shall not see death. But this world is so partaken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is the tree of death, that they're eating so deeply that they're going beyond a point. The prophet says there's no redemption for them anymore. There's absolutely no life. Just as much as we are baptized into a kingdom so that our souls will never see death. Jesus says to him that overcometh, you shall not partake of the second death. The Bible says you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Your soul is baptized, sealed into that dimension. That dimension that opens to you access to the tree of life. And we can just yield ourselves, and the cherub comes. The great eagle is the last of the cherubim comes. And those same cherubim that used to keep people from the tree of life when they sinned in Eden, the prophet says, now those cherubim, those anointed cherubim that overshadow the throne, their mission now is to usher us to the tree of life. That anointing that's in the message, the anointing of the flying eagle, that's upon the message. It quickens us, it hastens us as we feed on the message, as we fellowship around the message. What is it doing? It's quickening us so that we can partake more and more of the tree of life. And friend, we're living in such a contrast in this age. The world is partaking fully now of the tree of death. And Hollywood is showing forth all the fruits of the tree of death. That's where they're getting it from. And the bride is partaking of the tree of life. Amen. And we know the tree of life is the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. The revelation of the Son of Man. That's what it is. The unveiled Son of Man. Because he was the tree of life in the garden. And on the other side, there's Satan now, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he offers the kingdoms of the world. If you just yield to his anointing, he'll give you power. He'll give you the riches of this world. And the entire world. Look what it gets to in Revelation 13. What does it say? Let's read Revelation 13. Just to remind ourselves, where's this ending up? This which we see quickening and hastening in darkness upon the world, where's it going to end up? It's going to end up in Revelation 13. And it says in verse... let's read from verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast, that's a power, a beast rise up. The prophet in the seals, he says, you read Revelation 12, he says, Satan is cast out. He says, Revelation 13, verse 1, the beast rises up. The revived Roman Empire, he says. This is the beast and the kingdom of the beast. It's a power rising up amongst the people. Such an anointed power. This is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil made flesh in the beast. Just as much as the bride is the tree of life made flesh. That's what she is. Because if people want life, they come to you. And the tree of life is in you. Christ is in you. And people can come and feed and partake of life from you. Is that not right? Why did God have to send Philip down there so that the Ethiopian eunuch would pass by? Because the tree of life, the prophet said, had been planted in the earth once again on the day of Pentecost. Amen. The tree of life was in the earth once again, was dwelling in Peter, was dwelling in Paul, was dwelling in you, dwelling in me. And people can come and partake of life. But now the tree of the knowledge and good and evil, he is now personified in the beast, the climax of the ages beyond the rapture, when the portal is closed to the Gentiles, to the tree of life. At the rapture, there'll be no more access to the tree of life to the Gentiles. That portal will be closed. And as that portal is closed, there's a portal open and Satan comes down in his fullness, and now there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And like I said, beyond the rapture, friends, the tribulation period is literally hell on earth. We see it now. The prophet says we see the footsteps of it now. We see it in the fashions. We see it in the insanity that surrounds us. And the prophet says, thus saith the Lord, before the end, the whole world will be insane. So imagine what it's going to be like the other side of the rapture, when the portal to the tree of life is closed to the Gentiles. And it's open now through Moses and Elijah under the seventh trumpet to the Jews. 144,000. They're the only ones that have access now to the tree of life. But the rest of the Gentile kingdom, it's finished, friends. It's finished. The people have been sealed away, marked. They've been so influenced by this dimension. They've so yielded themselves to this world. So yielded themselves and partaken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they marked in their forehead. Their very thoughts and intent and purpose are just an expression of Satan and his kingdom. They just agree with everything that he says and everything that he stands for. And their hand is marked, the prophet says. They work, they use their money, they use their resources to support that kingdom. They agree with it. They agree with the way the world is now. They agree with all these things that are taking place. They take their money from their pocket and they go and buy these things from the shops. They go and buy Jay-Z and these things. A blasphemer that calls himself Jehovah. And you find a believer will pay money. Be careful you don't take the mark on your hand by paying money. Because the mark on your hand means you support the kingdom of the beast. And when you're meditating on those things and you're listening to that music, be careful, it's going to leave an impression. Amen. And if you go too far, it's going to leave a mark on your forehead. Amen. And you're going to start thinking the way that anointing that inspired that man is going to think. You're going to start thinking that way. You're going to say, there's nothing wrong with these things. My dad's just old-fashioned. You've been marked. You've been marked by a power that's been released from somewhere. And you've yielded to an anointing for too long until you've been sealed by that anointing. And that's crossing a line of mercy. Crossing a line of grace. Friends, I don't want to be a person like that. While the portal is still open to the tree of life, I want to cast myself in there. But the way into this kingdom, this portal is, you've got to be baptized into it. And to be baptized into it, there's a condition. You've got to repent of all of your partaking of the tree of knowledge. Amen. You've got to repent and be baptized into that kingdom. And you've got to forsake the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You've got to forsake those things. We can't partake from both. Amen. Now we know science through the tree of knowledge is bringing forth certain things that we have to use. Automobiles and that, and the prophet says, look, to show that it's not from the tree of life. There's more people killed in a year by automobiles than all the wars in the world. It's a permissive will. We've got to use it to get around. But friends, in the kingdom to come, there's going to be no cars. There's going to be no aeroplanes. There's going to be none of these man's scientific achievements. There's going to be none of those things there. So now we just have to use the things, but have discernment when we use them. Because all of these things that surround us are so tainted and contaminated by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is the tree of death, that you don't want to partake of the fruits of it unless you really have to, which is to use these things in this day. So in Revelation 13, verse 2, it says, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. So all of the kingdoms of the past, like a leopard and his feet, the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. That's all of the kingdoms. Read the book of Daniel, you'll understand. Now, the kingdom of Babylon, the kingdom of the Medes and Persians, the kingdom of Greece, Alexander the Great. That was the symbols of all those kingdoms that go by. And all the paganism and all the heathenism of those kingdoms gone by. Those Gentile powers, those Gentile untamed beasts of the past. They all come and accumulate and head up in one beast at the end. And all of those pagan kingdoms, and all the mythology, and all the occult, and all the mysteries of those religions of the past, the Egyptian religion and the Greek religion with its gods and so forth, they all culminate and come to a harvest time ahead in the last days. And then we go and buy Marvel comics now. And we go and watch movies like Thor and all of these things. Not knowing those are the gods of the Greeks. That mythology is the gods of the Greeks. Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, all of these kind of things. Go and find the source of these things. Let me ask you a question, if you can put the slide there, just sister. Which tree do those things come from? What is the source of those things? Where did Batman and the Joker and all those things come from? Did those things originate from the tree of life? So why are we partaking of them? Why are we watching those kind of things? By doing that, you are eating the fruits of the tree of the knowledge of evil, which is the tree of death. Is that not true? When you listen to Beyoncé, tell me, which tree does she partake of to bring forth her music? I don't think there's anybody that would blaspheme here today and say she partakes of the tree of life. So if she's getting her inspiration, the source of her anointing and power that's been released to her, that dimension that she's yielding herself into so she can bring forth the fruits that she does, it's the tree of death. So why are we as believers paying attention and spending time and fellowshipping with the fruits of the tree of death? And Hollywood is nothing but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Nothing but that. Even when they take the Bible films, they pervert them. It's not genuine inspiration in those. They call it Noah, but it's a blasphemy of the Bible. They make a thing called David. It's nothing but nonsense. They make this one AD, the Bible continues. It's no inspiration of the Holy Ghost in the thing whatsoever. I went and I watched it on YouTube. And you'll say, there's nothing. It's just bloodshed and violence and paganism in Christian titles. And friends, we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful which tree we're fellowshipping with. Because two portals have been opened to us and it's harvest time. And the anointing from these two portals is deepening and deepening and deepening to bring the two harvests. So where are we spending our time? Where's our focus? The Bible says we should be redeeming the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We shouldn't, friends, have anything to do with those unfruitful deeds of darkness. We should have nothing, let alone pay our money. Spend our time putting earphones in our ears, listening to those Kanye West and all these people that are about manifestations of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's all they are. They are just bringing forth the fruits of the dimension where they spend all their time. Now look at these two trees, the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How do we access these trees? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's accessed through the occult, through mythology. All of those things of the past, all of these gods of Egypt and all of these gods of Greece and all their paganism, all their rituals, until it comes to a climax in Revelation 17, mystery, Babylon. So these pagan mysteries, you go and fellowship in those things, including the Eye of Horus, which is from Egypt. And that's why I didn't have time to prepare it today. But I was going to show dozens of computer games, just the front cover, where they just show the one eye. Then I was going to show dozens of these fallen stars in music, every single one doing the one eye, the Eye of Horus, that occult symbol. Then you can go into Hollywood and look at all the symbolism in the films. Go into the music videos, MTV and that. Look at all of the occult symbolism inside of there. And it, to anybody who's got their right mind, they'll see which tree this came from. This has got nothing to do with the tree of life. This isn't going to usher us through this portal, which is God's provided way for his people in this age. It's going to take you deeper and deeper into that realm of insanity. This fifth dimension, this bottomless pit that's been opened. And these are manifestations of the darkness that came out of the bottomless pit. Friends, it's a shocking day that we live. But you've been conditioned by the things until we don't ask ourselves the simple question. What is the source of the inspiration of this person? Can we trace it back to which of these trees? Because as far as possible in this world, you do not want to fellowship with anything that came from the tree of death. But you rather you separate yourself. And that's why the Bible calls us to a total separation. A total separation. God has no compromise with these things. Because God knows that both of these trees are anointed. They're both greatly anointed. Satan was the anointed cherub that covereth. He's anointed. He has anointing. He has power. He has inspiration. And if you yield, he'll usher you deeper and deeper into his mysteries. Deeper and deeper into his world. Deeper and deeper into his dimension. At the end there of his death. Because it's a tree of death. But on the other hand, when the Lord sends forth his grace, sends forth his word, because there's only one way to the tree of life, that's through his word. There's no other way to the tree of life. It's his word. Because he is the word. And the word was made flesh. The prophet says the tree of life became flesh and hung on a Roman tree and paid the price for us. There's only one way to access this portal. You've got to come by the way of the word. And that's why, friends, God has had great grace upon us. God has had great grace upon us. It's a day that you're living in that you don't want to be caught on the wrong side. And like I say, this opening of the seals, what does that represent to us? The full unveiling of this portal being opened. At the opening of the seals, God did something. He opened a portal to the bride to come up higher, to be caught up. And friends, that's the hope of the believer. And that's what you live for, and that's what you should be feeding upon, and that's what you should be supporting and aiming towards. That's what you should be fellowshipping around. That's what the music we listen to should be ushering us towards that portal. The things we read should be ushering us towards that portal. And as far as we possibly can, though we're in this world, we don't want to be of this world, the Bible says. We have to live in this world. We have to use some of these things that come from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But as to go and pay our money for these things, friends, as for us to choose to spend our time eating the fruits of this tree of knowledge with its paganism and its occult, it's anointed, yes. It'll stimulate your flesh. It'll stimulate your fallen nature. But what is the end thereof? The Bible says the end thereof is death. You know, I read and I was watching something just a little bit. This one guy put on a Christian site. He was showing about how these actors get themselves in the spirit. It was a powerful thing. And he was speaking about this actor here. And I'll show you the picture. Heath Ledger. This is from Batman. Black Knight. He was the Joker. It's very sad to read. But he goes to show how this man, Heath Ledger, to be so successful in that role of the Joker on that Batman film, what he did. And in the end, they show his father because just after the film, he died. Friends, you spend too much time in that dimension of the tree of death and you die. Spiritually and literally. And this man, they say, they're interviewing the man that acted with him. And they're saying, you know, how did he get so effective and so powerful in his role? He said, this is what his father said. He said, 1 month before he started filming, he says, my son shut himself in a hotel room for 1 month. 1 month. Separated himself from everything else. And he spent time in his role. So that he could unite with his role as the Joker. And here's a picture of his scrapbook. He made a scrapbook. And he went back to all the things of the Batman comics. He went back and he read those things and he made notes. He went back now to the previous films of Batman and the people that had played the role of the Joker before. And he watched those things over and over again. What was he doing? He was yielding to an anointing. It was an inspiration that had come to him, and now he fully wanted to express this role that he was being called to play. But he knew that he couldn't just come on the day of the film and just play the role the right way. 1 month. How many of us would shut ourselves for 1 month before we go to take a convention or a service or something like that? 1 month of separation. And he got so much into that role. And then the man who acted with him, they show him, and he says, Heath, when he came onto that film stage, he says, they said, the real actors that make it, they never are out of character on the film set. They don't just get onto the film set and then he's the Joker and then he goes back and he's sitting and he's laughing with you when it's time. No, he's the Joker all the time. All the time he's in his role. And this man said it was amazing. He said, we had this one scene when I was in a hospital bed and Heath had to come in as the Joker. He says, and I lay in the hospital bed and I watched him. He said he was trying to prepare himself to say his lines for this specific part of the film. He says, and he walked around the bed. And he was in that role. He says he was muttering to himself. He was speaking to himself for 1 hour. For 1 hour, he wouldn't say his words because he didn't feel he was enough in the inspiration of that part to say his words. He says, and I watched him going around and he was speaking to himself and acting like the Joker. Then finally, he said his words. I said, my word. Friends, we don't want to just be coming to church to get into a certain role at church. And then when we leave church, we're not in that role anymore. We want it to be our life. We want it to be wherever we are. Now, I don't want to play the Joker. I want to play a son of God. I want to be the bride. I don't want to just be the bride when we're here and when other people make an atmosphere, then I'm the bride. And then when I go out of here now, then I'm not the bride anymore. And these people, they go so much, and he was partaking of this tree of knowledge, the inspiration of this role in this play. Because let's ask ourselves this simple question. This film, Black Knight, what was the origin of it? Did it come from the tree of life? That man who got an inspiration to write that book or to write that film play, whatever it was, the script, where was he getting his inspiration from? For that film to become a big hit and multitudes of other films don't make it. Why did that one hit the point and others didn't? Because this man went deeper in the portal than the others did. This man yielded to the anointing deeper that took him deeper and deeper into that realm of the occult inspiration. And then when he was in the spirit, he wrote now. He started to write it down. He got an inspiration. He started to write it. Then the actor now, Heath Ledger, for him to play the role properly, he goes and shuts himself for a month in a hotel room. He takes the script now. The prophet says, we have to be in the spirit of the composer. He wants to be in the spirit of the composer. He knows he can't just do it by just reading it lightly on the bus on the way to the film studio. He knows he's got to become one with that anointing. That inspiration anointing that inspired that film, that inspired that writer, that has put the words on the page. He knows now I've got to eat of this. I've got to fellowship on this. I've got to yield myself to this. I've got to meditate upon this. And in his scrapbook, he had all these different things he was writing and old comics of Batman. He was cutting pieces out. A whole scrapbook in a month. Making his notes and getting himself into the role and writing down certain things that he wanted to say and wanted to do. And the final words in the scrapbook are bye-bye. And then the devil takes this man and uses him as the Joker. And even before they finish editing the film, it hasn't been released, he dies a strange death. And they say that he got so much in the role that he said to his friends, he said to his family, I can't sleep. I can't get back to myself. He says, in the last week, I haven't even slept 2 hours. He couldn't get out of that dimension now. You see what it is, friends? I want to be like another dimension. I want to spend so much time in that dimension that when I go to work, I can't get out of that dimension of agape. Of the love of God, of the kingdom of God. He couldn't sleep. He was so anointed. He was so much in the role of the Joker. He couldn't come back to himself. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor gave him this prescription medication that allowed him. He said, it helps me to come back to myself and sleep for an hour at a time. And then they find him dead in his bedroom. And they said it was an accidental overdose of his prescription medicine. And the thing that shocked me the most, you'll watch it, I'll put a link up on our little thing. It's only 10 minutes to watch. It's done by a Christian man. They come now to Jack Nicholson. People know him. He was the original Joker the last time that film was made. And he plays the devil in many of these films and all that. And here he is, the first Joker. He's got all the press around him, and all the photos have been taken, and the reporter said to him, Jack, did you hear that Keith Ledger's passed away? And Jack Nicholson says, what? He says, he's died. They found him dead in London. He says, how did he die? They said it was an overdose. You know what Jack Nicholson said? He says, I warned him. He says, I warned him. I got a chill when I heard that. I said, what did he warn him? He probably warned him, my friend, be careful. Because when you go too deep in this portal, it's not easy to get out. If you give yourself too over to this inspiration, it's not easy to get out. And when you start now to partake and go too deeply into the portal of death, friends, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, look at all of them. Look at Jimi Hendrix, 27 years old. He got so deep into that dimension of music. Yeah? So deep. Until he said it's a spiritual thing that takes place. He said it's like church. He said it's even more powerful than church. And he goes so deeply, yielding to the anointing of that portal, of the fifth dimension that's been released. He gets so deeply into it. Death, 27 years old. What about Amy Winehouse? Amy Winehouse, so deep in there, getting the inspiration, she becomes the big thing in the world. The one that influences all the young girls and influences the people. 27 years old. Death. Yet God has opened us a dimension that he says, you shall not see death. Amen. Oh, friends. Where do we want to spend our time? What do you want to be feeding upon? What should we be fellowshipping around? Especially as the young people that are caught up by these things. This demonology of Hollywood and this demonology of the music realm. All of these branches now of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that's bringing forth almost a fully ripened fruit now. The fruit wasn't ripened in generations gone by. But look at the fruits of Hollywood now. Look at the fruits of the music industry now. And what is the symbol of MTV? It's an apple. And someone takes the apple and eats it and throws it away and says, MTV. What are they saying? That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, admitting it themselves. And friends, we allow ourselves to be baptized by that spirit. We allow ourselves to be ushered deeper and deeper into that realm of death by the music and the films and the fashions and so forth. You know what I say to people who are doing those things? Revelations 4 verse 1, come up higher. Come up higher. There's a voice that has gone forth. It's been a mighty voice that has gone forth in this generation. There was an angel that came down and he shouted, cried with a mighty voice. And the whole earth was lit with his glory for a season. And the voice was, come out of her, my people. Come out of her. Separate yourself. And friends, when I heard of the death of that young man, I was sad. You know, Satan tricked him. Satan knew I'm going to take him so deep that he's not going to be able to come out. And when I've got him deep in there, I'll snuff out his life. And then all of a sudden, when he's playing the role of the Joker, he's trying to get himself to be insane, yeah? To play this part, he finds himself dead and he's in the realm of insanity. He's in the fifth dimension. And that's where his soul is now. That same place the prophet says where there was insanity in that dimension. And hell now has opened its mouth. And the darkness has been pouring forth upon the earth. And it's bringing the earth now to a harvest time. The prophet says the rock and roll music, bringing the people to Armageddon. Bringing the people to harvest time. Bringing the people to maturity. Friends, God has granted us a lot of grace and he's granted us a lot of mercy. Let's not partake of these things, friends. This whole world is Babylon and mystery Babylon now. There's the occult in everything. No matter which computer games you go and look at, you're going to find there's all the symbolism. There's the pyramid of Illuminati. There's the eye of this. And there's all these other things that take place in every single one of these realms. And we as believers, we can't go and pluck those fruits from the tree of death and partake of those fruits and think that we're now the portal, when we need that portal the most, as things get closer and closer to an end. The prophecy is Jesus comes in a time of great trouble. The press, the squeeze is going to come more and more. Friends, we want that squeeze to squeeze us closer and closer, deeper and deeper, until it squeezes us through the portion, through that portal. We don't want to be caught on this side. It's a serious time that we're living in. There's never been a time of contrast like this since the days of Noah. Never been a time. That's why I said on the weekend, I said, when John came on the scene, Elijah, what happened? The heavens were opened. A portal was opened. And things were seen and things were revealed that hadn't been revealed before all the days of the Old Testament days. That's what happens. A portal was opened. Heaven was opened. In the days of Abraham, what happened? A portal was opened. He himself, the seventh seal himself, came down. And he came to fellowship. But what did he say? He spoke about the other dimension as well. About what was happening in Sodom. And how it had come to fill the cup. It had come to harvest time. And here was Abraham. That final visitation brings him to a harvest time. Changes his body back. Changes Sarah's body back so she can conceive seed. And at the same time, there's a dimension down there in the valley of Siddim, Sodom. And it brings things to a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And it brings forth the burning of Sodom. Friends, that's the time that we're living in. Let's be careful. God has granted us grace. The prophet says all we've got to do is yield to the anointing. It'll usher us into another dimension. Let's spend as much time as God allows us to in that dimension. And may the anointing get deeper and deeper. May that dimension express itself more and more through us as we yield ourselves to Him. Let's stand. Let's come to a time of worship, friends, before we leave. It's a serious hour. It's a sad thing. You know, the prophet, like I say in that message, Saul's that in prison now, if you go and listen to it, he thought at that time, because he saw in J.C. Penney, that dimension opened before him. He thought that dimension already had been fully opened. And that meant that the dimension of grace had been fully closed. Because when that one's fully opened, the other one's fully closed. And that's how the prophet at the end of that message says, could it be the time? He says, I've got loved ones. I've got children that are not yet in. I'm praying that it's not the time. But because of what he saw on earth, before him made flesh, he knew the time is so short. Because once this dimension is fully open, that one there is fully closed. God takes his people through. So may God help us, friends. Come out, come in, come up.
Come in, come up. The spirit of Elijah turns us back. Come and drink of this road. You'll never thirst again. The Spirit and the Bride say come. He that hath an ear, let him hear. While the Spirit says to the church, never fear. Come and drink of this rock, you will never thirst again. The Spirit and the Bride say come. Come out, come in, come up. The Spirit of Elijah turns us back. Come and drink of this rock. You will never thirst again. The Spirit and the Bride say come. God's voice calling from heaven, come out of here my people, be not partakers of this sin. The sins of grace given, God sees our iniquity. The Spirit and the Bride see come. Come out, come in, come out. The Spirit of Elijah dances back. Oh, come and drink of this rock, you will never thirst again. The Spirit and the Bride say come. Oh, come out, come out, come in. The Spirit of Elijah dances back. Oh, come and drink of this rock, you will never thirst again. The Spirit and the Bride say come.
I will walk this part.
Amen. Let's sing one more. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our families. Let's pray for grace in this kind of a season, that the Lord will continue to lead us for His glory.
Those you are chosen, the narrow path, the Father's way. There's a great portion of heaven is waiting for you because of what you decided. That was the prophecy the angel told to the great messenger. And that is what will bring you the great victory in the love divine. Steps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. Thou dear my love, live in me. Despite as many trials battle against the enemy, but His Holy Spirit will lead us to perfect love. There is not much time remaining to walk in this path. We can already so fed on Him. I want to get to the end of time. God, hear my love will live in me. Oh, I will walk this path. And I will walk this path. Oh, in the footsteps of Him, I want to get to the end of time. Don't be my love will live in me. Don't be my love will live in me.
Friends, it's come to a time of prayer. There's certain times that we need to separate ourselves. To separate ourselves from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that needs a real repentance.
Hallelujah.
And God is so gracious because as you separate from there, He opens a deeper access
Amen.
To the tree of life. And friends, the most precious thing is the tree of life. Let's just come unto Hallelujah. Him in prayer. Let's come unto the altar. Let's come unto His throne of grace. Let's come by the way of His blood. Let's seek Him for ourselves, our families, for our brothers and our sisters. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I bring myself before Thee, Lord, upon this day. And I just so do desire, Lord Jesus, Your grace. Just, Father, to come, Lord, deeper into the holy place, even upon this day. Father, inside of my soul, to go beyond the veil, to go beyond, Father, Lord, this world, to go beyond, Lord. Just desire, Lord, to be submissive and yield and dedicated unto You. Father, heal these things in Your hands, Lord. Pray, Lord, bless Your people upon this night, Lord, and pray. Bless me, every one of them. As I would want unto Thee, Father, God, to give it unto Thee, to wait upon Thee, Lord. To yield it all upon Thee, Father. This time, Lord, upon this evening, Lord, this time, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, pray. Lord, pray for us, Amen. Let's just keep our heads bowed. We ask Brother Vlad to come and pray for us, please, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Heavenly Father,
yes, Lord.
Just coming before You, O Lord,
yes, Lord,
at the end of this service,
oh, Lord.
Like You spoke so clearly, O Lord. We see that the dimension, O Lord, is open before us.
Yes, Lord.
O Lord, we see ourselves, O Lord, but we know that You are done worthy, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That You know, we know, O Lord, that there is life in You, O Lord.
Amen.
We want to ask You, come, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You clear us. Clean, take everything, like we sing that song. Take
yes.
all dross, O Lord.
Yes,
come
Lord.
Now, O
yes, Lord.
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Come
yes,
now, Lord. O Lord. Take Amen. All desires, whatever yes, it is Lord. In us, O Lord. Yes, Lord. That white dog will be overcoming
yes.
over that black dog, O Lord.
Amen.
We ask yes, mercy Lord. And grace because of our families, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We represent yes. like fathers our families,
Amen.
O Lord.
Yes,
our children,
Lord.
O Lord. Yes, Lord. Help
yes,
us, Lord. O Lord. Give us Help that us, anointing Lord. That yes. we will be able to discern, O Lord,
Amen.
Spirits. That
yes.
we will stop bad things to cross our home, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, we want to ask You, O Lord,
Amen.
Especially even about our pastor, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Anoint him that You will give him inspiration
Jesus.
That will lead
yes,
us, O Lord,
Lord
by Your
Jesus.
Grace, O Lord,
Lord
into
Lord.
Such a place
Lord.
That we will be able to see, O Lord,
Amen.
That all dirty things will be away from us, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
O Lord, that all dirty things will be away from this church, O Lord. That all dirty things will be far away, O Lord, from people who come to this place, O Lord.
Amen.
When we come and gather around Your throne, O Lord,
yes,
to hear Your voice, O Lord, around this table, O Lord, we ask, O Lord, that
yes.
we'll be anointing, such anointing,
yes,
O Lord,
yes,
that we will have God's
Amen.
God's fear, O Lord, around
yes.
this place, O Lord. We ask, O Lord,
Please,
O Lord, we need You, O Lord. We need You. Come and baptize us with Your Spirit, O Lord,
yes,
that all world will stay out, O Lord. That nothing will come, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord,
yes.
clean our mind.
Amen.
Clean our heart.
Please,
clean
Lord.
All what we are, O Lord.
Amen.
We
Amen,
ask
Amen,
You,
Amen.
O Lord, Even now, when we leave this place, O Lord, may we go with your spirit, O Lord. May we go with your mind, O Lord.
Amen.
Like you says, O Lord, that we should have our mind cleared with your word, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
O Lord,
yes,
help
Lord,
us
yes,
in those Lord, things, yes, O Lord. We just commit ourselves into your hands. Amen. When we go out of this place, O Lord, when we heard your word, O Lord, Lord, that your word, that you will speak to our hearts.
Please,
not just once, O Lord, like David says. You spoke once, but I heard two times, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
O Lord, may we heard not just two times, three times, even four times, O Lord.
Amen.
May your word follow us wherever we go, O Lord.
Amen.
That we can't depart from you, O Lord.
Amen.
We want to be find in your hand, O Lord. We just commend even our journey when we go home, O Lord. Be with us, O Lord. Be with our with families, O Lord. We commit all things what we are into your hands in the name of the Lord Jesus. Just we want to confess and commit ourselves because you are
Amen.
King of kings.
Yes,
O Lord,
Lord,
not this king of this world, O Lord.
Amen.
You are King of kings. You are life. You are everything what we need, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
May your name is glorified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Just before we sing that song, burn on as we dismiss, just to say thanks very much for the response for the meeting on Saturday. I think there's 14 young people that have confirmed they're going to be there. I think there's 7 from Brother Tom, so it'll be 21 young people. So please keep it in prayer. We'll be starting lunchtime, say 2 o'clock Saturday. Wanted to have one proper meeting, proper service there. So like we said, if you can ask our gifted young people to polish up the gifts before then. Then we'll have a little bit of a meal time of fellowship, and then we'll have questions and answers and a general fellowship around these kind of things. Staying over then at Castle Wellen, the next morning, Sunday morning, we'll go then to Brother Tom. Brother Tom's having a special meeting for youth. So we'd ask you really to pray for that, and then everyone will be coming back. So I think everything's being arranged to get a bus. I think our good bus driver brother here, he's going to help us out. So we appreciate it. You know. So please keep it in prayer that it might be a blessing, that the Lord might baptize people into
Amen.
That portal
yes.
and
Amen.
Baptize the world out
yes.
from
Amen.
That portal over. That's our desire. So please keep it up. Let's keep Sister Patience in prayer. We'll update you of the details as soon as we know. Let's sing the song as we dismiss in Jesus' name.
Burn on. Oh, fire of God, burn on till all my dross is burned away. Pray. Burn on, oh burn.